I'm a life coach. Hello, if you've never met a life coach, I'm what life coaches look like, apparently. My take on life coaching is most practicing life coaches have all got a slightly unique idea of what it is, that you kind of develop a voice of your own, if you like. My take on life coaching is to balance both, if you like, a quite Western idea. For example, if you take the idea of happiness, maybe you're not feeling particularly happy and you go and see a life coach and you want to be more happy, the idea that you can make various changes and happiness is maybe 3 months away at the end of various different changes that you want to make in your own life. There's a very classic life coaching, positive self-help kind of way of going about doing things, and there's some real useful tools in amongst that that can actually bring about changes that you want to make in your own life. But I also, and I'm doing the other side of the coin, if you like, the mirror session tomorrow, is, well, maybe it's about loving the life you live. Maybe already within you there is happiness, love, wisdom, confidence, joy. Maybe these are all things that are actually indwelling deep inside of us already right here, right now, and they're simply covered over by various ideas. So tomorrow's session is going to be looking at those kind of things. And this is the sort of work that I do with clients, is to be exploring both of these. If you're with somebody who basically is your other half, maybe you want to do... I'm going to attempt a mass life coaching. You know, like the Moonies used to do mass weddings. Well, this is going to be a mass life coaching. So maybe you want to become a blob, you and the person that you're with, and no arguments over what the most important thing in your life to change is. You're just going to have to agree. We'll have a murmur, have a little murmur while we all organise ourselves. There's also spare paper, so if you want to use the sheet that I've prepared, lovingly prepared, I should say, so no paper aeroplanes. Okay, I'm going to crack on. We're going to do a race through some actual practical life coaching stuff. There's no better way for you to explore what life coaching is around. I heard a mobile phone then. Let's all boo the person with the mobile phone. You really did it. Let's all spit on the person with the mobile phone. No, okay. There's no better way to explore what life coaching is all about, really, than to actually look at your own life, your own issues. Nobody's going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you what those terrible things are, but if in the next exercise I get a score 1 out of 10, I might ask you what's totally wrong there. Okay, question number one, and hopefully you've got something to lean on and do some drawing in. At the very middle, we've got score 0, and on the outside, we've got 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 is absolutely fantastic. In the middle is this couldn't be worse. So out of all of those different areas, you can do some colouring in, you can just put a tick, you can put a dot, whatever. You need to do this, those of you who are sitting without pens and pieces of paper, because the rest of the session is entirely dependent on it. Okay, so off you go. There will be moments like this when I'm not doing anything and you're doing all the work. Which is what's supposed to happen in life coaching. You see, if you really enter into this, by the time you get to number 10, your life will be transformed and you'll be living the life you love. You'll be the happiest person here. Doesn't that sound fantastic? 10 is absolutely fantastic, and that's on the outside. Okay, this is pretty quick. This is all gut-level responses that you're going to have to put in this. Any questions that anybody has during this, do shout them out. And I do apologise, because there's a lot of people right in my peripheral vision. I'd like to be making eye contact with all of you, so I do apologise for those people right on the edges. Hello, I'm looking at you right now, people right on the edge. Hello. Hello, down that way. Hello. Okay. Some of these are a bit vague. Personal growth. What's personal growth? Ooh, don't know. Maybe you're only 4 foot two and you'd like to be 5 foot six. Might be that. I don't know. Physical environment. People don't often think about what is outside of themselves. What about where you live or where you work? What's your physical environment like? So who's done this? Who's done all these? Who's given themselves a score? Everybody, more or less? Yeah, over this side? You're going to have to fast forward. Okay. When you work on your own life, or if you were going to work with a coach, you're trying to bring about some sort of change in your life. The way you've drawn this, if you've coloured it in, what kind of ride is it giving you? If this was a wheel, is it a bit of a bumpy ride, or is it quite a smooth ride? I sometimes find people who do this for me with I'm actually coaching, who've given themselves maybe 4 for everything, and then they've given themselves a 10 for romance and partner. And I think, well, if we want a less bumpy ride, we should knock back the romance and partner back to number 4 so it can balance all the rest, rather than trying to get everything else to a number 10. That's just too difficult. Is it obvious, looking at your wheel, which is the one area that you should be thinking about? Which is the one area in your life that should be most concern? Where you have this space that I've made available for number 2, see if you can. It doesn't matter if you really haven't, but just pretend that you've got some dire problem that you really need to work with during this session, because it's going to make it all a lot more. But it's better if you actually can write something here. I'm talking about number 2 now. This is relating to which one of those segments you've perhaps given your lowest score, or the one that you think is worth. If I get somebody who comes to me and wants to work on everything, that's a little bit difficult. It's better to work on just one of these areas to begin with. Bring about change in just one area, and it can then start to overlap. I don't tend to deal with finance. I don't tend to deal with health, because that's really Sue land. So I'm not really going to ever give anybody any advice about finance, apart from put my fees up. Okay, number 2, where I've said it may be gut level obvious what the most obvious concern is that you want to write there, but I have some other kind of questions that I ask people, a different way of unlocking what the most important area you want to work in. And it could be, and you can use number 2 to actually write this down, it could be just a list of wishes related to that area. Or it could be what it is that you want to do better. These are just different questions, different ways in to finding out what it is that you are really passionate about. I'll explain why that's important in a minute. What has angered or upset you recently about this? That's usually quite a good clue as to what it is right at the nub of this that's bugging you, that you want to make some changes. Or it could be that you're thinking in a different way. Imagine you have your ideal such and such. Maybe it's an ideal job or ideal relationship or ideal fun and hobbies, ideal health. Imagine you have that. What does that then do for you? So you're actually using different parts of your senses, different parts of your brain to think of and imagine this future. And if you have this, what does it do for you? The reason why I'm asking for some big, sparkly, fantastic wish here, something that maybe you've never said, maybe I'm asking you to phrase this big desire in a slightly different way. Because if it's easy, if it's just a matter of getting up out of bed and doing it, then there's no reason to work with somebody else on this. It has to be something a little bit edgy that makes you feel slightly uncomfortable, a bit tingly inside. They're the things that I really enjoy working with people, because you'll talk to people for a couple of hours, and then those of you who are counsellors, you might know this door handle response. You'll have been talking for a couple of hours about what the issue is, and just as they're leaving, hand on the door handle, oh, but of course my marriage is on the rocks, but anyway, we might talk about that another time. So, I mean, I have a guy who came who'd given himself a 2 for finance, and he desperately wanted to work on career, which he'd given himself a 6, and I have to say, you know, there's a bit of a head in the sand thing going on with this finance question. Let's look at that. So this has to be what you've written for number 2. This has got to be something that you're quite excited about, but you haven't got all the answers. You don't necessarily know how to do this. This is a voyage into the unknown. But another thing to look at about your language that you've used to describe what it is that you've got down for number 2, whether it's real or whether we're talking pretend here, is your language positive or negative? Are you describing moving away from something? I really hate such and such, so I'm moving away from it. Or are you describing positive? It's going to be fantastic. I'm really wanting to move towards such and such. Have I made that a little clearer? It's quite useful, obviously, to be describing things in the positive tense if you're wanting to make changes in your own life. But how you initially write it down, how you initially describe it, is very important for me, because it gives me a clue as to how you're motivated. Now, this sometimes causes arguments, but I'm going to bring you down to question 3 now, which is basically about your motivation. And this is relating to how you might have expressed your big wish in number 2. Are you motivated when there's a change going on in your life, And it could be that this is a big change that's happened in the past that you can think about. Are you motivated to actually finally make that change because you're moving away from something? You're in a situation that's really uncomfortable. You hate it. And that's the thing that's finally going to make you change. So avoidance of pain, for example. So you stay in the situation for so long until your tolerance has gone right and you've snapped, you know, that's the straw that broke the camel's back, and that's the thing that's finally asked you to. Or are you sickeningly positive and everything is all wonderful and you just change because over there it's brilliant and that's the thing that motivates you to change because it's going to be wildly wonderful when you're over at this new place. So you could describe this meta overall motivation as avoidance of pain or pursuit of pleasure. Do you feel like you fit into, broadly, one of those two categories? Or you could describe it in a slightly different way, in that your motivation broadly to bring about change in your own life is moving away from something, moving away from a situation to something new, or moving towards something new. Okay? Can I have some nodding if you understand what I'm talking about? When you nod, I move on. Okay. Some people don't like this. Some people don't like being put into boxes, but I'll tell you why it's important. The process of change is quite difficult. And there are going to be moments during the process of change where it's tough and you don't feel like doing it anymore. And if your primary motivation is avoidance of pain, as it is for about 70 or even 80% of the people that I work with, if that is your primary motivation, it's quite difficult to actually bring change about, because if it's a really uncomfortable situation that is promoting you finally to get off your bum and do something, once you've moved away from the painful situation, you stop the change and you wait until it gets really tough and difficult again. So I have to be hard during that process and I have to wag my finger at people and say, look, if you don't do this, do you remember how it was 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago? If we don't carry on, it's going to be back. And I have to keep reminding people about how terrible it was. But anyway, that's your own choice. Okay. Other ticks. Can you look in the piece of paper next to you and make sure that they've ticked it? Because I'm getting grumpy now. If you're not doing this, it took me ages to make this sheet. And if you're not actually using it, I'm going to get fed up. Right. This is quite good, this overall motivation, this over meta motivation. But I quite like this next one. Especially if you're a creative person, or maybe you do tasks, or you're involved in some sort of projects or whatever. I'll describe these next five. Learning how you're motivated is one of the most important keys to bringing about change, because you can see where the difficult bits come, you can see what it is that you need to help you move forward. You get me. Okay, this is the next part of question three. Imagine some project that you were involved with recently. Maybe it's work, or maybe it's some project with family or church, or I don't know what, but something that you had an active part in. What was it that got you out of bed in the morning? Was it that you were so excited about doing this project that if you did it really well, it would be better than those over there? It would be better than the next door neighbours, or it would be better than the other company? Or so you're primarily motivated by how what you do compares with other people. So you're quite competitive. Okay, that's the first one. The next one is process. You just love building. You just love doing the hard work, the step-by-step process of getting this thing done, whatever this thing was. Or it could be product. You're not so motivated by the process, but you kind of have to do this. But what's in your mind, even from the very beginning, is what this thing looks like when it's finished. You've got a real vision. Do you see what I mean? So that's the thing that motivates you, is what this bedroom redecorated is going to look like before you even start. Lovely. And then you can get the other person that you're with, who's a process person, to see how this is useful to understand this. Those of you who are with the person that you love most dearly on the planet Earth might well be able to answer the question about motivation by avoidance of pain or pursuit of pleasure. It's what it is that finally gets the DIY done. Do you spring out of bed on a bank holiday morning because the bedroom's going to look wonderful, or because the other person is screaming at you and they have been for years? Will you finally get it done? Okay, where am I? Effect. You are primarily motivated by the effect that what you do will have on the people that you're doing it for or the audience somehow. So you race through all the things, but what you're imagining is the look on the faces of the people who are going to come to the party or the people who are going to be reading the book or the project or coming along to listen to the session that you're producing, that kind of thing. Or are you a power person? Are you primarily motivated by looking after all of the other four parts sewing together? People are normally one or two, maybe three, but I'll let you tick two of those. Which are you? Tick now. Some of you have probably ticked already. Have you ticked already? Have you? Right. So you knew which ones you were. Right. There's usually, can you stick your hands up if you're a comparison person? Yeah, that's usually process and product people. Stick your hands up. Mostly process and product people. And what about the effect that it has on people? Really great. Yeah. We're rubbish at getting things done, though, because we just race through it because we're really excited about what it's going to be like when it's finished. And then forget that we didn't build it right during the process. So if you're an effect person, you need to remember about actually the hard work of getting the thing done. Okay. Power people. Power people. Stick your hands up. You might not want to admit this. We have one power person, so we're all going to be asking him what it is we're supposed to be doing. Okay.